Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you this July day from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. This very month, the United States of America celebrated her 234th birthday. It was my blessing on July 4th to celebrate the occasion in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I was part of a tour called the Next Great Awakening Tour, headed up by David Barton. You've seen him a lot on Kenneth Copeland's program and then also on Glenn Beck. And Dr. Jim Garlow. Jim Garlow had to do with getting Proposition 8 defeated, same-sex marriage in California. On June 25th, we began our tour in Boston, and we traced, in particular, the godly beginnings of this nation through our founders, from the Pilgrims and Puritans, through the great preachers that God used in the Great Awakening. Some of these men were Jonathan Edwards, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield. We even saw on our tour John Wesley's death mask and, can you believe it, George Whitefield's thumb. It seems that George Whitefield was such an anointed preacher that when he first lay in state, people came to the funeral, they'd chop off, take pieces of his clothing. And someone even dared, nobody knows who, to chop off his thumb. But with these great teachers and in these places, we, on our tour, we saw the influence of the first Great Awakening upon the founding fathers of this nation who brought forth the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. When, at the Lord's behest, I began to study the Great Awakening, I studied it in secular areas as well as religious history. And I learned, a Harvard professor in one of his lectures said that you cannot understand the colonials who brought forth the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States unless you study the Great Awakening. And so these preachers of the Great Awakening greatly influenced our founding fathers. And on our tour, we visited Plymouth and Boston, Philadelphia, New York, Washington, D.C. We went to the place where Washington crossed the Delaware. We saw so many things which spoke to us that our roots are sure. This nation began on a firm foundation of the Word of God. Now, I think we need to go back over this a little bit from time to time. On June 29th, 2008, it was the year of the presidential election. Here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, which God had led us to begin in 1995, He said, I want you to establish a place of prayer for two purposes. Number one, to pray in the plans of God. And number two, to stop the strategies of the enemy. And so, only with the hand of God and by the anointing of God, Prayer Mountain is built. And in 2000, it's not completed, but you know, we'll begin another cabin this fall, but we do have corporate prayer here now, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and we have a prayer network. But on June 29th, we were in our corporate prayer meeting Sunday afternoon that meets at 3 o'clock every Sunday. And we were praying that year, 2008, about the upcoming election, presidential election, and people were really getting with it, when suddenly the room filled with God. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. That means when people speak in utterance gifts, that they can speak or not speak. The Bible says, if there's no interpreter present, just speak to yourself and God. But twice in my lifetime, I've had such an anointing come on me that I really did not have full control. I really didn't have the ability to stop speaking. It was a short word, very powerful. It shook us, it silenced us. And the word was, one thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will avail for Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. Then God-directed thoughts went through my mind. First, we were moved upon by the Spirit of God, and a deep, deep repentance came upon me, and I believe on the others. And what I was repenting of was the very idea that we could think that a man or a party held the answers to the mess, and that's the words that came to me, the mess America was in. And so I did. I repented, and then thoughts shot through my head. I knew they were God-directed thoughts. The first one was the best person in the world could be elected president, and it would do no good if the people do not turn to God. And then it came through my head, awakenings, the Great Awakening, American history, the part of prayer in awakenings, study. And so we did. I did. And God began to visit us and give us more information and bring people into our paths. Brother Gene Wiseman, we have, if you'd like to have them, our prayer partner letters, which tell all the story as this thing unfolded. And then eventually, and now we have every Wednesday at noon, Central Time, we have by live streaming a prayer meeting that I was handed the numbers today. We now have 12,000 computers joining us. And some of those are prayer meetings in homes. Some of them are prayer meetings in churches. One in Kiev is a group of ministers. And we have 61 nations joining us in prayer every Wednesday. Our primary purpose is to pray for an awakening, a global awakening unto God. And we're seeing it answered. We're seeing things happen. When we first heard this from God in June 2008, I wasn't hearing the word awakening, but now I'm hearing it everywhere. Hearing it on the Glenn Beck program, hearing it in Billy Wilson's ministry, hearing it in this tour that we were just on is called the Great Awakening Tour. Praying for the next awakening, looking at the first one and praying for the next one. And so we received on that date, an appointing. We were given a task of God. I have been instructed by the Lord to study the book of Isaiah. And I came recently to Isaiah 45. And in Isaiah 45, 1, it begins, and I'm reading to you from the Judaica. It's a Hebrew translation into English. And then there are notes at the bottom of the pages. So in Isaiah 45, 1, and it's been talking in Isaiah the last few chapters, it's been talking about how God saves Israel and God alone saves Israel. I really like these chapters. He brags on himself. But here in Isaiah 45, 1, and as they translate, "So said the Lord to his anointed one, to Cyrus, whose hand I held to flatten the nations before him." Now, he calls Cyrus his anointed one. Cyrus is a Persian king that God is going to use to overthrow Babylon. Now, he speaks this before, through the prophet Isaiah, before Israel has ever even been hauled off by the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, they were in captivity 70 years. So 137 years before the fact, God calls Cyrus by his name. And he says that he's anointed him. He's going to overthrow Babylon. "So said the Lord to his anointed one, to Cyrus, whose right hand I held to flatten nations before him." Now here's the notation on this, in the notes of this Hebrew translation. "To his anointed one, every title of greatness is called anointing." Numbers 18:8 is speaking of how that God anointed Aaron. He's setting up the priesthood, the Kohanim. The Levites were a tribe that was chosen out and separated from the rest of the tribes. And then within the tribe of Levite, he separated the priest, the Kohanim. And it reads in the King James, Numbers 18:1. Let's see if I have it down here. Yes. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. Well, that's how the King James translates it. And it is a word that has to do with anointing. But listen how in the Chumash, which is the stone edition translation of the book of Numbers from the Hebrew, by the Hebrews, Hashem spoke to Aaron, and I, behold, I have given you the safeguard of my heave offerings of all the sanctities of the children of Israel. I have given them to you for distinction and to your sons as an eternal portion. Now, these gifts that were given to the Kohanim were a public affirmation that they were his personal, God's personal legion, his personal army, you might say, his personal servants, his ministers as priests. And it translates the word distinction, the word anointing. It was given to them, the anointing was given to them for distinction. Another translation says it was given to them for greatness. So the anointing separates one. It separated the priests, the Kohanim, from the other Levites and from the other tribes. In the Old Testament, the prophet, the priest, and the king were anointed, and then others were appointed to special tasks. And those appointed to special tasks, Gideon, Esther, Samson, they all had anointings by which they were to accomplish the special task. Now, I want to read to you again from the Judaica notation on Isaiah 45:1. Any appointment is known as an anointment. As we find in 1 Kings 19:15, in reference to the appointment of Elisha to succeed Elijah, as well as the appointment of Hazael as king of Aram and Jehu as king to Israel. So they were appointed and they were anointed. We have been appointed and we have been anointed to ask God for an awakening, a global awakening, and especially in this United States of America. I'm going to be talking to you about these things this week. I'm going to be reading to you out of David Barton's book, America's Godly Heritage, which we have available to you by book for $6 and on DVD for $15 plus shipping. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. And don't forget, it's not too early for you to get registered for our Autumn Assembly of Prayer. What a time to be praying together. Come to Branson and join us at the Hilton Hotel. And this will be October 27th through November 1st. We'll meet in a tent out here November 1st. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Shalom.